Blog Talk Radio.
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Your Place Love Connection Bible Study. This is your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. We're so excited to have you with us this evening, as we are every Tuesday evening from 7 to 8-ish, 30 maybe, like p.m. So with that, we're asking that everybody would join us as we start off, as we always do, with devotion. Tonight we'll start off with prayer. And then we will have a song, and we'll have scriptures. And if at this point, Eric, did you want to share the scriptures? I know you sent them out.
Yeah, the scriptures, the first reading is Joel chapter 3, verses 1 through 21. That's Joel. Chapter 3, verses 1 through 21. The second one is St. Matthew 25, verses 31 through 46. St. Matthew 25, verses 31 through 46.
Awesome, awesome. And so after we have the reading of our scripture, we will do a intercessory prayer. And whoever is in the studio, if you will please put yourselves on mute so we don't hear all the background noise of your cooking and shuffling. So, we're also grateful. Okay, I'm going to have to put you on mute then. So after our study, after we do our intercessory prayer, we will come back and we'll do a roll call. And after roll call, we will jump into our study with Minister Eric leading us in the 19th chapter of Revelation. I have posted the final readings online on Facebook on 19 through 22. And as always, we will follow that up with our Bible study after it's finished and go from there. So if you will, we're ready to start. God, we come before you tonight and we are just so grateful. We are just as celebratory as those who were celebrating the destruction of Babylon. And we're saying hallelujah. Thank you, God, for being so awesome and so mighty. Thank you for leading us into this study and opening our eyes to revelation knowledge. Thank you for opening our spiritual eyes so that we can see in a different way. And we can become prepared, oh God, as you are letting us know the time is running out and you will be returning soon. So with that in mind, we go further into the study tonight, oh God, asking that you would provide new opportunities for us to grow. And as we grow and share, that we will have others to join us and ask more questions. But most of all, that this radio broadcast goes out all over the world, that people will hear and ask questions and wonder and begin their own search to give them the answers to their study of Revelation as well. So we thank you, we glorify you, we magnify your name, for we know we are bringing many to the harvest, and that, oh God, your name will be proclaimed. We thank you in Jesus' matchless name. We love you, and we praise you. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
Amen. Joel is right after Hosea and before Amos. Okay, reading of Joel. Joel 3, 1 through 21. Are you there, Joan?
This is the New Living Translation. At the time when I restore the prosperity of Judah and Jerusalem, says the Lord, I will gather the armies of the world into the valley of Jehoshaphat. There I will judge them for harming my people, for scattering my inheritance among the nations, and for dividing up my land. They cast lots to decide which of my people would be their slaves. They traded young boys for prostitutes and little girls for enough wine to get drunk. What do you have against me, Tyre and Sidon, you cities of Philistia? Are you trying to take revenge on me? If you are, then watch out. I will strike swiftly and pay you back for everything you have done. You have taken my silver and gold and all my precious treasures, and you have carried them off to your pagan temples. You have sold the people of Judah and Jerusalem to the Greeks, who took them far from their homeland. But I will bring them back again from all these places to which you have sold them, and I will pay you back for all you have done. I will sell your sons and daughters to the people of Judah, and they will sell them to the people of Arabia, a nation far away. I, the Lord, have spoken. Say to the nations far and wide, get ready for war. Call out your best warriors. Let your fighting men advance for attack. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Train even your weaklings to be warriors. Come quick, all you nations everywhere. Gather together in the valley. And now, O Lord, call out your warriors. Let the nations be called to arms. Let them march to the valley of Jehoshaphat. There I, the Lord, will sit to pronounce judgment on them all. Now let the sickle do its work, for the harvest is ripe. Come, tread the winepress, because it is full. The storage vats are overflowing with the wickedness of these people. Thousands upon thousands are waiting in the valley of decision. It is there that the day of the Lord will soon arrive. The sun and the moon will grow dark, and the stars will no longer shine. The Lord's voice will roar from Zion and thunder from Jerusalem, and the earth and heavens will begin to shake. But to his people Israel, the Lord will be a welcoming refuge and strong fortress. Then you will know that I, the Lord your God, live in Zion, my holy mountain. Jerusalem will be holy forever, and foreign armies will never conquer her again. In that day, the mountains will drip with sweet wine, and the hills will flow with milk. Water will fill the dry streams of Jerusalem, and the fountain will burst forth from the Lord's temple, watering the arid valley. Egypt will become a wasteland, and Edom will wilderness, because they attacked Judah and killed her innocent people. But Judah will remain forever, and Jerusalem will endure through all future generations. I will pardon my people's crimes, which I have not yet pardoned. And I, the Lord, will make my home in Jerusalem with my people. I read for you from the book of Joel, chapter 3, verses 1 through 21, the word of the Lord for the people of the Lord, for the mission of the Lord.
Amen.
I will be.
Amen.
Just vote.
I'll be reading from King James Version, Matthew chapter 25, verse 31 through 46. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. And the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will sit the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and fed you, or thirsty and gave you drink? When did we see you a stranger and took you in, or naked and clothed you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and came to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did to me. Then he will also say to the throne on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick, and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do to me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word, Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 46. Amen.
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 Amen. Lord, as we go into the further parts of our broadcast, we want to come as a family, as a community, as a group of people who are seeking the Lord, wisdom and knowledge for growth and maturity. So it's as this time we ask that the believers on the line and those who are out there who want to call in, if you would take this time to give us praise reports for what God has already done and give us prayer requests for that which we believe God is going to do. So at this time, we are taking requests, prayer requests and praise reports.
Well, this is Eric. I want to lift up Craig Ciprian and his family, a dear friend of mine who is dealing with COVID. He has lost both legs. He is still on a ventilator. He has been battling now for about 6 weeks. Still got a long way to go, so I want to uplift him and his family through this process. I want to bring my mother and her health, specifically back issues that she's enduring right now. Uncle Wendell, who's in a nursing home with some ailments and issues. My Uncle Dwayne, and other family members that have dealt with death here in the last week or so. But I also want to thank God for being God, for knowing enough about us individually and collectively to meet our needs as they need to be met, with specifically what he knows is appropriate at that time. I don't think that we truly realize how great our Creator is. We take for granted the sun, the weather changes, and I'm not a winter person, but God created it, so it has to have some lasting beauty. Of course, I don't see it yet, just yet, so forgive me. But God is God, and God doesn't make mistakes. And I know many times we see things that go on in this world, and we question and we don't understand. But the old folks used to say, you'll understand it better by and by. There was even a spiritual song for that. And I do believe that to be true. It may not make sense to us now, but when we get to see God's ultimate plan, it will make perfect sense. So I just want to thank God for being God.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Are there others who want to lift up a prayer request or praise report?
This is Shirley. I just want to just thank the Lord for his grace and mercy and the hedge of protection that he has put around my entire family and close friends into my church home. Because without him, we would be lost. I mean, just like sheep wandering in the wilderness if we did not have God or some sanctuary to come into. And I really just praise him for his grace and mercy and his finger of love.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Are there others?
Yes, this is Amy from Maine.
Okay. Hold on.
Ladies first.
Lady from Maine. Come on.
So I just wanted to give praise to God for just sending his only son and giving me this opportunity to have this relationship with him, forgiving me and watching me dust my knees off repeatedly and being right there and supporting me. Also blessing me not once but twice in my family with finding a perfect surgeon that has helped my brother-in-law as he's doing really well. And now also Craig Tulin, who had fell and broke his hip, and found another surgeon that did a great surgery, no infections, and he's on his way to recovery also. And I'd also like to send so many prayers to my parents and learning how to forgive and not holding in all that negativity and anger, because they don't see the poison that it's actually doing in their body, and realizing that things happen in our family because it's all trials and errors, and we're supposed to learn from that and run to God, and they are not there yet. And I'm hoping that someday they will listen and see the changes that have happened to me within the last 20 years, and this will give them strength to realize that God is great, and we do go through these trials, but for them to remember that they need to run to him and to forgive. And
amen.
Just continuous love.
Amen.
Amen.
This
is there anyone else? Go ahead, Britt.
Yes. I want to give thanks to God, my Heavenly Father, and to Jesus Christ. When I pray for people, it seems that God is right there and right on time. My friend Sheila, that lost her mother, has gone through that and has come out. She still has yet to go through the grieving process for her mom. And I talked to her earlier today and helped to peel away one of the layers that hopefully will allow her to see the light at the end of the tunnel. The other thing is that her husband came home from VA. They were going to operate on his hip and drain the fluid, but they decided not to do it. And so he's going to be incapacitated for about 30 days while this fluid drains off his hip. But he's doing okay. They got him with medication and stuff. And I just ask for prayers for Sheila and her family, and that God will bring them through this obstacle. I found out Friday, which was my son's birthday, he turned 50. My oldest granddaughter got engaged, so I thank God for that. And that God has taken care of me. That everything that I need, I have. So I give him all the praise, and I just thank God for everything. And I thank you guys for
praying
and being in partnership with me.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen, brother.
Amen.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Are there others?
This is Margaret. Can you hear me?
Yeah, Margaret, we hear you good.
Oh, good, because we were driving in the country and lost signal. So that's wonderful.
Talk quickly.
Okay, I'm praising God and thanking him for all his blessings upon my family, but I do have a prayer request from my cousin Monica. She's been paralyzed since she was about 17 from a spinal cord injury, and she did regain the ability to walk, but she walks with a walker, and she's nearly crippled. And her 16-year-old daughter, whom she loved so much, left her and moved in with her dad and doesn't want to have any relationship with her at all. She says, I don't need you. I'm sorry. I have to concentrate on my own life. And my poor cousin Monica, her heart is broken because she loves her daughter and she put her whole life into bringing her up. So I ask for prayers for reconciliation and for the renewing of relationship. And I do also pray for Monica to continue to grow spiritually, because I've just been encouraging her, since she can't talk to her daughter, to pray for her. And she's growing in her faith. So I praise God for that.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And we'll also pray for safe travel.
Thank
Amen.
You. Just started raining. Amen. Thank you so much.
Amen. Are there others?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, we can hear you. Go ahead, Al.
Oh, yes.
My name is Al. I'm kind of new to the group, although I've listened a lot of times. I've just never spoke up. I want to tell you how good God has been to me. Since December of last year, I've been hospitalized 3 times. December of last year, I was hospitalized for 11 days with 8 pounds of fluid in my chest. I couldn't breathe. I got through that. Then I had a heart attack. And God got me through that one because my heart actually stopped. I've tested positive for COVID twice. First time with no symptoms. Second time, all I had was a runny nose for one day. I've tested positive for the antibodies. My second heart attack was also a heart-stopping heart attack, and had it not been for the pacemaker and defibrillator that they implanted in me after the first heart attack, I would not be here. Now, I just want to tell you how good God's been to me, and I give him total praise. And thank you for listening.
Amen. Amen. To God.
Amen. Praise
Amen.
To God.
Amen,
hallelujah.
Amen.
Yay.
Amen.
Praise
Amen.
To
Amen.
God be the glory.
Just remember what you said, because God's not through with you yet. That's why you're still here.
Amen.
Yes, absolutely.
Amen. Amen. Your work
I agree.
Is not done.
There are others. Amen. Are there others who want to praise God or share?
Yes, this is Joan in Maine. I'd like to uplift my my daughter's partner that who's going through, I believe, a hemodialysis doesn't seem to be working out, and he has only 6% of the kidney working, so they're doubly, he has to go again to the hospital. But I still pray for kidney fresh kidney, or eliminate all that kind of work. But I'm praying for a miracle. That's what I'm asking for. And I heard today something about kidney. I don't know why. I claimed it. So if there's any transplant, it's going to happen. I claimed it. Hope all the best. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
And thank
amen.
You for everybody. And thank you for the good news.
Amen, sister.
Amen.
Thank you.
Are there others who want to praise God or bring someone up to the Lord? This is Dr. Susie. I'm asking for prayers for my family, which is inclusive of my children and their housing, place to live. My son is looking for a job. He has sickle cell anemia, and he works as much as he can, and then he gets sick. And every time he works hard and he has to go in the hospital, they count it against him, because he, even if he brings a note from the hospital, they don't keep him. So he can't keep employment because of his illness. And he wants to have a family, and he can't take care of a family with things the way this is. So he's asking for prayer that he can get a job that would be understanding and work with him with his disability, and allow him to continue to work after he gets out of the hospital. So we ask him for that, and a home. Nice 3-bedroom home. So that's our prayer request, and asking for health for my daughter. So is there anyone else on the line that would like to praise God, since, you know, we just trust in God for what we have?
Amen.
Amen. We do.
Amen.
Thank you for sharing.
So we'll go forward with prayer. Most holy and righteous God, we come before you now, first of all, praising you because you are worthy, hallelujah, to be praised. As the rose of Sharon, the brighter morning star, the bread of life, oh God, we come before you because you are, you were, and always will be, today, the same, yesterday, and forever. And so as we come before you, we reach out our hands to say thank you, to praise you, to be down on our knees before you in our hearts, glorifying you, magnifying your name. Worthy is the Lamb, with all power, with all wisdom, with all knowledge, who cares and sacrifices for each of us that are his own. We praise you, O God, and come before you. We lift up Eric's family and all that involved in that. We praise you, O God, for you being God all by yourself. And we thank you. Shirley lifted up her family, and she's thanking you for all the mercy and protection, all that you've given us. Amy is thanking you, O God, for her brother, Craig, for the surgeons, for the support, for all that you've given her, lifting up her parents, asking that they would change and transform and be new creatures. Lord, we come from Brett, who just praising you and thanking you, lifting up Sheila, her family, and their loss. Lord, asking and praising for his granddaughter, who just got engaged, but thanking you for taking care of him. And then Margaret, hallelujah, praising you and thanking you for the babies and the family. Lord, asking for travel mercies and to lift up Monica, who's struggling, and to help the 16-year-old child. They're both in hormone stages, and help them, oh God, work through this as they're struggling. Then we come before you and we praise you for Al's testimony and the things that you have done for him and are yet going to do. We lift up Brett, hallelujah, as he's constantly sharing the goodness and the mercy of God. And Jonah's asking for a miracle, asking for a transplant, lifting up and praising you, oh God, for the opportunity for a kidney and all that's involved with that, because you are able to do all things but fail. And so I come, oh God, lifting up my children, looking for a place to stay, looking for housing, looking for jobs for Jamie, praying for health for Sydney, asking that we might all have spiritual wellness, and that everybody on the line would be blessed in their health and their wealth and their knowledge and their families, that you would bless us and grow us and teach us to not be babies, but to grow up and become disciples that will each carry out your word and share it with somebody, that we will be convicted to not hold this to ourselves, but praise you enough to share at least with one person. We can't hold it, that it's like fire shut up in our bones. And as we go into this lesson, that you would teach us, and that we could hold on to the wisdom and the knowledge that you have passed down to John, that we might also be beholders of this precious treasure. And we praise you as we go forward in our lesson tonight, giving you honor, giving you glory, and giving you praise. We humble ourselves before you. In Jesus' mighty name, let us all say, amen.
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 Amen. So, as we go forward, yes.
Captain Susie.
Yes. Yes.
I'm not really ready to do this, but something is pushing me to say. I'm kind of like embarrassed to sing, but may I?
Don't be embarrassed.
May I sing this song for everybody?
Sing it.
Because this
sing
is
it.
Just like a blessing. This is God telling me to sing it.
Sing.
Okay.
Quit talking and sing.
I don't even know
sing.
If I could sing it. Okay. Oh, Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the world thy hands has made, we see the stars, we hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings our souls, my Savior God to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings our soul, our Savior God to thee, how great thou art. when we think that God, his son, not sparing, send him to die. Eye scars can take it in. We scars. That on the cross, our burden gladly bearing. He bled and died to take away our sins. Then sings my soul, my Savior, God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings our soul, our Savior, God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen. 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 I thought you were just too old, Sarah Jones. But we praise God for the word. We thank God for the scriptures. We thank God for the song. And sometimes, y'all, we just have to trust the Holy Spirit. Not sometimes, but all the time. So with that, we have come and we've got about 15 people on the line tonight. So we already know that Eric is here, Brett's here, Brian's here, Shirley's here, Joan's here. We've got Amy here, we've got Margaret here. So we are all here, and there's some few more Al's here, and many of us with us. So we have a lot on the line tonight, and Mateo just joined us. So we've been praising Brother Mateo. You just came right at the end, but we've been shouting and having a good time. So with that, we are moving on, Brother Eric.
Praise the Lord.
Let's go.
Thank you, Dr. Susie. Appropriate devotion for tonight's lesson. In the last 2 weeks, we studied the fall of Babylon, not only the economic and political system that we studied last week, but the religious system the week before in chapter 17. And even in the fall of Babylon, just before God was getting ready to end it all, he gave one last opportunity for those to come away from out from under her. And so God, even through the great tribulation, has on 3-4 different occasions did give an opportunity for those to accept his sovereign Jesus Christ as his only begotten son. And so tonight we're going to start with the song in heaven as God is ending the Babylonian rule, and as we stated 2 weeks ago, it's not the physical place of Babylon. It's the mindset. It's an attitude. It's all of that, and it's predicated on self-reliance of oneself or a system, and not on self-reliance on God and God alone. And so if someone could read chapter 19, starting at verse 1 and read through verse 10, we'll get into the victory song in heaven before going on to the rest of the chapter. That's Revelation 19, 1 through 10.
After this, I heard a sound like a vast crowd in heaven shouting, "Praise the Lord! Salvation and glory and power belong to our God. His judgments are true and just. He has punished the great prostitute who corrupted the earth with her immorality. He has avenged the murders of his servants." And again their voices rang out, "Praise the Lord! The smoke from the city ascends forever and ever." Then the 24 elders and the 4 living beings fell down and worshiped God, who was sitting on the throne. They cried out, "Amen. Praise the Lord." And from the throne came a voice that says, "Praise our God, all his servants, all who fear him, from the least to the greatest. Then I heard again what sounded like the shout of a vast crowd or roar of many ocean waves or the crash of loud thunder. Praise the Lord, for the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice, and let us give honor to him. For the time, for the time has come for the wedding feast of the Lamb, and his bride has prepared herself. She has been given the finest of pure white linen to wear, for the fine linen represents the good deeds of God's holy people. And the angel said to me, write this, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding feast of the Lamb. And he added, these are true words that come from God. Then I fell down at his feet to worship him. But he said, no, don't worship me. I am a servant of God, just like you and your brothers and sisters who testify about their faith in Jesus. Worship only God, for the essence of prophecy is to give clear witness for Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Brett.
Praise you.
Amen. So John is hearing these voices, these mighty voices, these loud voices, these numerous voices, all singing, shouting, hallelujah, which is in turn praise the Lord. And a unique thing about reading that in chapter 19 through verses 1 through 10 is that that is the only time in the New Testament, those four times, do you hear that phrase, praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Those words are actually translated as hallelujah, and they're only used four times in the New Testament.
All right.
But it's appropriate that they're placed here because God is now doing what he promised he would do all along. We must not forget that God has always promised, since his covenant with Abraham, that he would redeem and look after his people.
Amen.
And we have gone centuries where it appears that that's just not the case. But in fact, it is the case that he's giving, and we talked about this, he made this promise to the Israelite, and Jesus came to deliver that promise to his own people, and his own people were who?
The Israelites.
Israel, the Jews, the Hebrews, the Jewish nation.
Yeah. To people.
Jesus came to them to deliver God's promise to them. And because they didn't receive it, what happened? Now, all of you ought to know this.
Christ extended the invitation to the Gentiles.
Correct.
They were sent to bondage, and where they serve out another 400-year sentence because they didn't listen to the Lord. All the curses in Deuteronomy 28 were placed upon their head when they didn't listen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Correct. And because they didn't listen, and because of turning Christ away and causing his execution, they thought, gave an opportunity for the Gentiles to be saved. But God still didn't turn his back on the Jewish nation. They had to suffer their consequences for their actions, but he still didn't turn his back on them.
And in 19, we're starting to see the fulfillment of his promise. That even through the tribulation period, and we're coming to the end of that, he is still reaching out to them. And we know that because we talked about the 144,000 back in chapter 12.
Chapter
13, 14.
But you know something, Aaron?
Right.
We have to understand it's not just the Jews that have to pay for the consequences of what they have done. All of us do. You know, we might think we're getting away with something. But, and I say that because I don't want there to be anti-Semitism thought. And so the reality is that God loves all of us, especially his own. But because he loves us, we have to, he says the wages of sin is death. And we have to pay the consequences of our sins and grow, hopefully, from our mistakes and become more like him with the transformation.
Amen.
Thank you, Dr. Susie. I was not trying to allude that we get off scot-free, because that is absolutely not true. We do not. We have to suffer the consequences of our actions and our disobedience as well. But throughout all of this, because God made this promise, Satan has been trying to destroy that kingdom, that nation. And God is finally saying, nope, it's over, you lose. And now,
you know, Brother Eric,
God, yeah.
I was just saying it's so apparent, we don't pay much attention to it, but we all can remember the Holocaust, how millions of Jews were murdered and killed and destroyed. And so, you know, the enemy is real. And has been trying to, like that dragon who's been trying, you know, when the baby was born, trying to get out there and get that baby, trying to destroy anything that was related to Christ. So I just, that just jumped out to me when you said that, Eric. A reminder.
Right. So they're praising God, praise the Lord, hallelujah. And then we jump down to chapter 7. No, this.
You mean verse 7?
Yeah, chapter 7. Verse 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and honor him, for the time has come for the wedding feast of the Lamb, and his bride has prepared herself. She is permitted to wear the finest white linen. Fine linen represents the good deeds of the people of God. Well, I was getting ready to ask you, you know, who's the bride in this, but
the
man, I just read it to you. Right.
Yeah. I heard you slipped
her.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
That was the easy gift.
Yeah, it's the church. Has anyone done any research about what a wedding feast used to be like in John's day? Because it's nothing like our weddings today. But has anybody know anything about that?
Mm-hmm.
You want to share?
I'll share some. It's just the same way when we look back at, you know, the theater and the movies always share a little bit about it, stuff. They don't quite tell you everything, but they remind you about how the families would get together and the big celebrations and how the groom would come
back
for the bride and
say,
take.
What was a wedding like?
Hello?
Man, you can't be cheating with Google. Man, you busted, brother. You busted. At least not when we can hear it anyway. So go ahead, Dr. Susie.
That's okay.
Go ahead, but it's okay.
had to tell the story. Oh, Lord have mercy.
No, I just,
I'm sitting here rolling
no,
on
I just
the
wanted
floor.
To know for
it's
myself.
Okay.
Oh,
no,
okay.
But it's okay, Brie.
Okay.
See, Eric, you always talking about me, busting.
Well, I'm glad I added that laughter to the conversation.
I just happened to hear him ask
no,
the question.
I'm glad.
So.
No, I'm glad that I added that laughter. But you know, for myself, I wanted to know because when Jesus turned the water into wine, it always has puzzled me, why was it that the mayor of the town went to Jesus' mother? Because normally they go to the daughter's parents to complain or ask for more of whatever they need. But in this case, they went to Jesus' mother.
But
go ahead.
Go ahead, Dr. Susie. Go ahead and tell us what you got.
No, I was just going to talk about the customs. You know, it's similar how parents are the bride in the bridegroom, right? They sign and give agreement that of the bridegroom and then the bridegroom. In the old days, they have a dowry. You know, I'm a part of a family that does betrothal, or they, you know, arrange marriages, and you gotta have a dowry through the bride and her parents, and so that begins the process itself, which is called the engagement. So as we know, Joseph and Mary, they were engaged when Mary was found to be with the baby, and then they go through a celebration through the town or the streets, and the bridegroom is with his male friends, and they go to the house of the bride at midnight, and they create this big fiasco with lights and parades. And it's not a surprise to the bride, right? Because she knows in advance all this stuff is getting ready because she got her maidens with her. Then they all join the parade and end up at the bridegroom's house. And, you know, that's the supper. They sit down and they eat at the supper, and it's, you know, it's different phases of the wedding, and it's different phases, but it's the idea that the dowry paid by the bridegroom's parents, because, you know, this is an analogy to the blood that Christ sheds for the church. Isn't that so neat? Oh, anyway.
All right.
And the other part of that that I found interesting is that the wedding supper could last several days.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't just, you
party.
Know,
one.
Like, yeah, I mean, it was
it
was a
full
out affair, and it was important, and so, you know, here we are being invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb in the church. And the church is permitted to wear the finest white linen. And it represents the good deeds of God's people. Now, this is the for real question, Brother Mateo. So, given how we are as humans, even those of us who are Christian and profess Christ, how is it, because I'm being honest now, how is it that we could be at the marriage supper and be allowed to wear the finest white linen?
Because
he said he kept us without spot or blemish.
Amen. And also his blood has washed us clean. So in God's eyesight, we are like Christ was. And that's why we get moved from this life into a more glorious life, because the blood of the Lamb has cleansed us and washed away all impurities. That's why we're able to wear white.
All right. Thank you both.
All right.
That is absolutely correct. And that is the only way. And what I'm getting at is that you can't do it on your own.
Right.
No human being can do it on their own accord. It is an invitation that has been granted to us, and we need to accept that invitation. And the only way that it can be done is through Christ Jesus and his sacrifice that he made for us. That's what God looks and represents. He is seeing what we are to become, not what we are. He knows what we are, but he knows what we are to become. And what we are to become is what he meant for us to be back way back in Genesis when he created Adam and Eve. And I'm thankful that he can see that and that he knows that. Because if I didn't accept that and find joy in that, as Paul said, what most miserable people we would be, because we would live without hope. Think about that. If you didn't really understand or believe what Christ has done is going to make a difference for your eternity, what hope would you have living in this current condition, living in this current world? We just read coming up to chapter 17 and 18, what's going to happen during the tribulation. Now, I'm not saying we're in the tribulation period now, but man, some of that stuff is going on now.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
And you talk about people who have not accepted Christ and don't find the joy in what God has done. There are a whole lot of miserable people out there.
Amen. Yeah, it's true.
But we know better. At least we should know better. So the marriage supper is taking place, and I like this part here in 9. And the angel said to me, and then the angel said like this, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding feast of the Lamb. And he added, these are true words that come from God. Unlike Satan, who has been deceiving people, and the beast, and the false prophet,
and Antichrist.
Said, right. The All Antichrist, right. The false prophet, and Satan. These are true words that come from God.
Amen.
I mean, you know, take it to the bank. Remember the old commercial when E.F. Hutton speaks, everybody listens?
All right.
Yeah. These are true words that come from God. So everyone who has been invited understands that you're in the right place. You were invited. These are the words that came from God. You're in the right place. And then the angel tells John not to worship him. Now John turns back to the beginning of the Battle of Armageddon. He talked about it in 17. Now he refers back to it in verses 11 through 21. Can someone read that, please?
I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse, whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and wages war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Coming out of his mouth is a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh he has the name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun who cried in a loud voice to all the birds flying in midair, come, gather together for the great supper of God, so that you may eat the flesh of kings, generals, and the mighty of horses and their riders, and the flesh of all people, free and slave, great and small. Then I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to wage war against the rider on the horse and his army. But the beast was captured, and with it the false prophets who had performed the signs on its behalf. With these signs, he had deluded those who had received the mark of the beast and worshipped its image. The two of them were thrown alive into the fiery lake of burning sulfur. The rest were killed with the sword coming out of the mouth of the rider on the horse, and all the birds gorged themselves on their flesh.
Thank you, sister. So, yeah. Hey.
We've talked about
this being a battle. We've talked about, you know, a war. But here it clearly says it's not a war. If the angel, and I'm going to kind of skip around. So if the angel is standing in the sun and shouting to the birds, come and gather together for the great banquet, and nothing has even happened yet, what does that tell you? Because the angel surely wouldn't be proclaiming death to the King of Kings, would he?
Nope.
So he's got to be proclaiming death to who?
The evil forces.
Right, and he's proclaiming that before anything happens. We read later what happens, but he's proclaiming that. So this is not a war. This is an annihilation. This is not a war. This is not a battle. This is an annihilation of evil.
Amen.
And we see the first two people who go into the lake of fire. Because at this point, we haven't read that. We've read that people have died. We've read that people have been killed from hailstones and from you know, evil, demonic demons and you know, lions and horses with lion heads and snake tails.
Amen.
But we've not heard anybody going into the lake of fire until now. And who are the first two?
The beast.
The beast.
And the Antichrist.
Prophet.
And the false prophet. Because at this point, they have been ruling the world through the tribulation period. Remember, Satan gave the power to the Antichrist. The Antichrist then recruited the false prophet. And the false prophet has been spreading all kind of lies and rumors and false miracles and all that stuff to have all these people believing. To worship, he's got all these people worshiping the Antichrist. So these are the first two that go into the lake of fire that is going to burn forever.
Amen.
When you talk about Babylon, remember when it talked about Babylon, how the smoke said it kept rising up forever? You know, at first it makes it seem like it's going to end, but it clarifies it's forever.
Right, and this is the smoke. This is the smoke forever. Now, like Sodom and Gomorrah, when God destroyed that, this is forever. So those are the two that go in there. And then it says that the entire army was killed by the sharp sword that came out of the mouth of the one riding on a white horse. So what is the sharp sword? Is it a literal sword?
No.
What is it?
It's his word.
It's his word. So it's his word. Just like God spoke the word, created everything that we see in the earth today. He spoke that into existence. With he didn't take something and make it. He spoke it into existence, and then he took what he spoke into existence and did all the other stuff, the seas and the dry land and man. He did that. So who goes to a war, a two-dimensional war, with weapons trying to fight somebody who can speak you out of existence?
Existence, right. Exactly.
Hey.
But
sounds like insanity to me.
Well, it is insanity, but you got to remember that they were deceived into believing that they were going to fight this war to take over the world. That's what the Antichrist and the false prophet told them, thinking that they're going to do that. They didn't really tell them they was going to fight against the creator of all creation. Because God stood up and said, that makes no sense to me. You want me to take my weapons? You want me to take my weapons and fight against the guy who spoke everything into existence?
But we need to understand that this is repetition. We're not shocked here, because what happened when he was in human form and he went into the desert and he was dealing with the enemy when he tried to tempt him? He conquered with his word.
Word.
That's what he teaches us to do, to win the battles with the word of God.
Correct, because Satan knows God's word.
Yes, he does.
Amen.
And from the beginning, he always tried to twist it.
Well, deception.
And
deception. Never die.
Amen.
So all these other folks are killed, and the vultures have a feast. So God is even thinking about the animals. He's feeding the animals as well.
All right.
But let's
the ones that left.
The ones that left. Well, it's obvious a lot of them. But let's back up. We got this name that's written on Jesus. That's who's on this white horse. John doesn't call him by name, but he gives all the attributes that we've already read, like in Isaiah, faithful and true. He judges fairly. His eyes are bright like flames of fire, and on his head were many crowns, meaning King of Kings and Lord of Lords, which is written on his robe and on his thigh. The title was the Word of God. And the armies that were with him, who makes that up? Who makes up the armies that are with him? I just want to see what people think. Because if really...
The nations from everywhere.
Right. So who's all included in that? I mean, can you be a little more specific?
You talking about God's army?
All the people who didn't receive him.
Yeah. No, I'm talking about the army.
Oh, you talking
Jesus.
About the Lord's
I'm
army?
About the army with Jesus.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm sorry for that, not clarifying that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm talking about that army.
All right. This is Brent.
Who
makes
up that army?
Gabriel did that. Gabriel and the angels.
Gabriel
is
and the
leader.
Angels.
And, right.
Archangel Michael.
Okay, so you think anybody else is in there, or you think it's just Gabriel and the angelic forces?
The saved. I would say probably the 144,000 that were saved.
Okay, the 144,000. You think anybody else is in there?
All saved Christians.
All Boy, you just threw a whole blanket and covered everybody, didn't you? Which is true.
That's what you want.
So you think any of the Old Testament people are in there?
Yeah.
You thinking of the people that you thinking of the people that went through the tribulation might be in there?
Yes.
Oh yeah.
He said
you
think
the
rapture church might
in
be
heaven.
In there?
Yeah.
Hopefully.
What was that?
Hopefully.
You think any of the raptured church might be in there?
Raptured.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So, in other words, it's like God has, it's like Jesus and God has said, okay, So we're going to muster our forces, and we're going to show our strength, and we're going to show them that they're overwhelmed. But you know what, Army? You just need to be there for a witness, because I got this.
Yeah.
It's only going to take my word.
To observe
my
Jesus
word to end this.
Well, they were there. It wasn't because they were needed for power. It was because they were. It was going to do something for them to be present and to see and to witness. Oftentimes, God does things Himself, God's self, so that we can benefit from seeing what God does, what God is able to do. And it happens in front of us, and we should not forget, because that's the teaching that will continue to empower us. And we talked about this before, about not forgetting.
Not taking it for granted, the power of God.
And I want to prove to you everything that I have told you before, that I want everybody to be present to understand it and hear it and see it.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Yeah. Praise you, Jesus.
So literally they were just witnesses to the great power of God.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Again. Because we do seem to neglect God's power and take it for granted or not recognize it for what it truly is.
Yeah, it's not just being a witness, Eric. I don't see that. But what I see it is it's something about choosing to be on the Lord's side.
Right.
That does something for you.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Being on God's side, it's more than just I'm watching. I'm on God's side.
Right.
You know, that's a big thing.
What I try to tell you in the past is now coming to fruition, and I want you to understand it. There was a reasoning behind it.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
Yes, Lord. Mm. If you didn't know then, you know now.
Yeah, now that old question, if you don't know, you better ask somebody.
That's right.
And with that, Dr. Susan, I'm going to turn it back to you, because what we're really trying to say to those that are listening who have not accepted Christ as their personal Savior is that you don't have much time. We don't know how much time we have, but each day that goes by means that you have even less time.
Now,
we've been invited to the marriage supper. We've been given an invitation, if we so choose to accept it, to be on God's side.
I have
an opportunity, as we're going to study next week, to reign with the Lord for 1,000 years before we get the brand new heaven and new earth for eternity. And we implore you that if you are seeking for a better way, seeking for understanding and insight, that if you'll pray this prayer, Lord God Almighty, Jesus Christ, I ask that you would come into my life and take control, that you would lead, guide, and direct my path. For I surrender myself to you, understanding that it's you and not me. That in order for me to have true eternal life, I must accept you as my personal Savior. And I surrender myself to you at this particular point in time, that you will rest, rule, and abide in my life. And if you've prayed that prayer and you're sincere in your heart and you've asked Jesus to come in, you are saved at that point. You are a child of God. You have given your life to Christ. And we would just ask that you find a Bible-believing church where you can study and worship the Lord, and also where you can be baptized. Baptism is not the final all. It is just the expression, the outward expression that you've accepted Christ as your personal Savior. And we welcome you and praise God's holy name for your name being written in the book of life.
Amen.
Basically.
So if you prayed that prayer, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. You are part of the body. and we claim you as brothers and sisters in God's kingdom, and we ask you to continue serving here and studying your Place Love Connection Bible study, as well as getting in a Bible-believing church. And at this time, we're asking that you bring somebody with you next week, and we will continue in the study of Revelation. And we're asking you to get ready, get ready, get ready. All right, Brett.
Amen. All right, thank you, Dr. Susie. I just want to add, for all those that said that prayer, that by you doing that, the Lord said he will never leave you.
Yes.
No matter what, he's going to be there with you. He's not going to give up on you. So I want to thank everybody that's been online tonight, and everybody that's here, and everybody that has opened their heart to the Word of God. And I want you to remember that we're here every Tuesday from 7 to 8, 15, 20, whatever it takes. And that all you have to do is call in to 646-478-4932. Dr. Susie is the host, and we will see you next Tuesday.
Read Revelation 20. Read Revelation 20.
Thank you. Good night.
Blessings.
Love you
guys. Blessings.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Your Place Love Connection, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment.